I want to welcome you again. That's it? That's all I get? Okay. That's fine. No. It's okay. It is an absolute privilege to be with you again this morning to share from God's Word. And I'd like to jump right into it. Our scripture reading for this morning is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 right now. If you don't have a Bible, there are some in the seat pockets in front of you. I encourage you to use those. If you forgot your glasses or otherwise can't see the small font, we will have it on the screens for you. So let's read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of God. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, and we praise You for who You are. Lord, we thank You for Your church and for the opportunity to gather here. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word and for the way that You choose to reveal Yourself, Lord. And we pray that this morning, as we seek You in Your Word, that You would pour out Your Spirit, Lord, that You would speak to us, that You would teach us. And Father, it is our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. When I think back and consider all of the roles that I've fulfilled over the years, I find it very interesting. As a youngster, as I was growing up, I think of my role as a son. I had a role then as a student as I started into kindergarten and grade school. When I started to get involved in sports, hockey, Little League, I had a role then as a teammate. I have sisters, so I had a role and have a role as a brother. And of course, I cannot forget my very important role as a smart aleck. And my parents will back me up on this. I was a wise acre from a very young age. Then as I moved into my teen years, my role as a student changed. I went from grade school into junior high, into high school, and beyond. In my teen years, I began a new role as an employee. I started working as a busboy. Very glorious, by the way. Glamorous. My continuing role then as a member of my family. And as I moved into life a little bit later in life, I took on some new roles. The role of a husband, and eventually the role of a father. And of course, I can't forget my continuing role as a smart aleck. And my children will verify that I do indeed continue in that role. Although I will say that the apple does not fall far from the tree. So, my role as an employee changed. I went from a teenage busboy to a healthcare worker to a medical device sales rep to my current state, which I haven't really defined yet. I hesitate to use the word retired because I still have work to do. Maybe not in the traditional sense, but I still have work to do. And then I consider how my roles have changed over the last 15 years or so. I fulfilled many of the roles that I previously mentioned, but see, that's when I really began to explore and understand my role as a follower of Christ. So I had a role to fulfill as a follower of Christ. I had a role to fulfill as a church member. I eventually had a role to fulfill as a deacon and then as an elder. And I had a role to fulfill, and I have a role to fulfill as a teacher. So I've fulfilled quite a few different roles over the years, and my roles have changed or progressed in certain situations over time. What I want you to do this morning is I want you to take a moment and think back and consider some of the roles that you've fulfilled over the years. Now, I'm guessing that many of them are very similar to mine. There may be some that are different. Obviously, with regard to you ladies, I could never fulfill the role of a daughter or a mother. But I want you to think about it. And are there any other roles that you can think of that we should mention this morning? Anything at all? Anybody want to throw anything out? You're awake, right? You're with me? Okay. That's okay. That's fine. Well, I've titled this message, Rolling Through Life, R-O-L-E-ing through life, because we have all fulfilled multiple and different roles in our lives. Some change over time, and some are clearly more important than others. This morning, what I want to do is I want to take a very close look at the passage that we read from Hebrews and see how Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill three very specific roles. We're going to look at those roles. We're going to look at the implications that they have for us today. And most importantly, we're going to see how we can respond to those roles. So let's dig in. Now, Hebrews is a book that was written sometime before 70 AD, and we know that. It's based on some of the references in the book to certain historical characters and references to the Jerusalem temple and the old sacrificial system. We know that the Jerusalem temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And the author doesn't identify himself here, and scholars really can't agree on who wrote the book. See, in the epistles, very often they would start out with some sort of a greeting and say, like, I, Paul, say to you. But there's no greeting in here. The writer just dives right in to the scripture. Scholars can't agree. Some say it could have been Paul or Barnabas, maybe Luke. But there's one thing that we do know about this author, and that is he was a very early, maybe the first barista, like you would find at Starbucks, right, with coffee. Because of the name of the book, He Brews, right? He Brews Coffee? No? I wasn't sure if that was going to work or not. Clearly it didn't. That was my mild attempt at humor. I promise that I won't try that again. So we don't know who the author of the book is, but the book was written to illustrate the superiority of Christ to any angel, priest, or any old covenant institution. With Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, he ushered in a new covenant that was superior to any previous covenants. And this new covenant replaced the Mosaic law as well as the old sacrificial system. And we'll explore that a little bit more and talk about that a little bit more as we go through the scripture. Now, I mentioned three roles that Christ came to fulfill. And the first role is that of Jesus as prophet. So let's look at the first couple of verses and see how the writer of Hebrews develops this, okay? So in verse 1 it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." Okay, so let's break that down. So it says, "In the past, God spoke." All right? So long ago, God chose to communicate to his people through the prophets. And this includes the authors of the Old Testament prophetic books, as well as the historical books. So it includes Noah, Abraham, Jacob, David, Isaiah, etc., etc. All of the Old Testament authors. And these prophets served as mediators proclaiming God's words, right? Many of them began with, "Thus says the Lord," or "The word of the Lord came to me." So they were the mouthpiece of God, and they proclaimed only what was revealed to them by God. So the writer goes on in Hebrews in verse 1 to say, "at many times." And we see that because the prophecies of the Old Testament span some 1,500 years, right? And involve a great number of different authors. All was not revealed to any one prophet at any one time. So, God spoke to these prophets, still in verse 1, at many times and in various ways. And as we look at the Old Testament prophecies, we see that God used different modes of communication from time to time, right? Sometimes it was an audible voice. Sometimes it was in a dream or a vision.
Often it was an internal suggestion as moved by the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit moving in the Old Testament. Or, in the case of the Ten Commandments, written by the hand of God Himself. So God spoke in the past at many times and in many ways through the prophets. And as we move on to verse 2, we read, "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son." And the writer of Hebrews here has created some very clear points of contrast that I want to explore. Okay? So, very clear points of contrast. Verse 1 says, "In the past," or "long ago." Verses 2 says, "These days," or "today." So, "long ago" versus "today." Verse 1, it says, "God spoke by the prophets." In verse 2, it says, "Jesus speaks," or "God speaks by His Son." And then in verse 1, the prophets are speaking to... Who's the audience in verse 1? The prophets are speaking to our ancestors, our forefathers, right? Okay? In verse 2, it says that Jesus is speaking to... Who's the audience now? Us. Jesus is speaking to us. Okay? And then in verse 1, it says, "at many times and in many ways." And we juxtapose this against this new revelation that has come at one time and in one way, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see what the writer of Hebrews is doing here? See how he's comparing these things? He's basically comparing the old with the new, right? The old covenant with the new covenant that was ushered in through Christ our Savior. Now, Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Hebrews, I think really puts it quite well. He says, "It is the final... the finishing revelation given forth in the last days of the divine revelation, to which nothing is to be added, but the canon of Scripture is to be settled and sealed. It is a revelation which God has made by His Son, the most excellent messenger that was ever sent into the world, far superior to all the ancient patriarchs and prophets by whom God communicated to His people in former times." Friend, Jesus is the final and the ultimate prophet, right? He came to proclaim the gospel. We mentioned before that the prophet said things like, "Thus says the Lord," right? What does Jesus say? We see it in Matthew 5:22 and other places in the New Testament. He says, "But I say to you." So Jesus, God, is speaking through His Son, Jesus. And He came not just to proclaim the word, He is the Word. In John's book, chapter 1, he makes it very, very clear, right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Jesus is that Word. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. All of those prophecies in the Old Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. In Deuteronomy 18:15, we read, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Friends, Jesus is that prophet, the final and ultimate prophet. And there's just one more point that I need to make here, because this came up in a discussion with some friends the other day. We just read from Matthew Henry's commentary, and I just want to reread it because there's a great point in here. It says, "It is the final and finishing revelation given forth in the last days of divine revelation, to which nothing is to be added, but the canon of Scripture is to be settled and sealed." Friends, that's it. That's it. No more prophets, no more Scripture. And if anyone comes claiming to be a prophet or to have some writings that they claim are a revelation from God, we must reject it. No Book of Mormon, no Quran, no other prophets. Jesus is the final prophet. And there's a very specific warning for those false prophets. We see it in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. It says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. And friends, John is not just talking, John's the one who wrote the Revelation of Christ, he's not just talking about his book, he's talking about the entire canon of Scripture. Friends, that's it. Jesus is the Word, He is the final and ultimate prophet. The second role that we see in our Scripture for this morning is that of Jesus as priest. Now, the readers of Hebrews back then were very familiar with the role of a priest in Jewish society, and they understood the sacrificial system. Us today, maybe not so much, but if we take a moment to educate ourselves, this will help us to understand. Okay? So, the priest acted as a mediator between a holy God and a sinful people, right? It's no great news that God is holy and the people of Israel were sinful. So the priest's job was to offer sacrifices of animals and blood, and he did this on a daily basis. And then once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the holiest place to offer a sacrifice. And what he would do is he would sprinkle blood from an unblemished, perfect animal on the mercy seat as an atonement for the sins of the people. Okay? And the high priest would do this every year, year after year. Okay? So that was the role of a priest, to offer sacrifices and prayers on behalf of the nation of Israel. So what can we glean from our scripture for this morning about priesthood? Well, in verse 3 it says, after he had provided purification from sins. And that is exactly what we've been talking about with regard to the role of a priest, right? The priest offered a sacrifice year after year for the sins of the people. But now, Jesus makes that sacrifice, acting as our high priest. He not only offered the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice once and for all time. And we know that. We don't want to gloss over this small phrase in verse 3. It says, after he had provided the purification from sin, there's that perfect sacrifice. It says, he sat down. You ever had anybody say to you, don't sit down, you're not done yet? My parents probably said that to me 100 times growing up. You don't sit down until your job is done. Friends, Jesus sat down. Never again would a sacrifice need to be made on our behalf. What did Jesus say as he hung on the cross? It is finished. I have paid the price in full for your sins. Christ came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, and he shed his blood. He shed his perfect blood on the cross for us. He is the perfect mediator and priest. So here's the problem, okay? There's really only two options. Option one, perfect obedience to the law, no sin ever. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you've never sinned. I was going to say, oh my gosh, we have one. But it's good to see that now all the hands are down. Honest people, right? Now I want you to raise your hand if you will never ever sin again. Okay, see? Honest people. The bottom line is the nation of Israel were sinners, right? We are sinners. We cannot obey the law perfectly, no sin ever. So the only other option then is we pay the price ourselves for our sins. Can we do that? No, we talked about this before, right? There is no sacrifice that we can make. There's nothing that we can bring that's going to pay the price for our sins. It is Jesus Christ alone that is our hope. Solus Christus. You ever heard that Latin phrase before? Solus Christus. It is one of the bedrocks of Reformed theology. Pastor Barry talked about this last week. you are going to get Reformed theology here at Hope Church. We are going to adhere to that. Well, this is one of the bedrocks of Reformed theology. Solus Christus. It means in Christ alone. See, friends, Christ and Christ alone is our only hope of salvation. We cannot live a perfect life and we cannot pay the price for our sins. But Jesus, because of His great love for us, has done both of those and He's done it perfectly. And He's done it once and for all. And when we place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross, we are saved. Amen. That's great news. But wait, there's more. Sounds like an infomercial, right? But there is more. See, not only is Christ mediated for us perfectly, but He continues to be our high priest. Romans 8:34 tells us, Jesus Christ is the one who died, there's that perfect sacrifice, more than that who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He intercedes for us with God on an ongoing basis. 1 John 2:1 tells us that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. And actually, the writer of Hebrews goes on in his book and echoes those ideas later in chapter 7, verse 25, when he says, therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Jesus was and continues to be our perfect priest. The third role that we see is that of Jesus as King. The second half of verse 3, we read, after He had provided purification from sins, there's the perfect sacrifice as priest, He sat down, done once and for all, at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And the people of the ancient world would have understood this very well. See, the right hand symbolized the highest position. The highest position, equal to in power and authority to the monarch himself. When Christ ascended, He took the place of supreme authority at the right hand of God. And from there He reigns. And He reigns in our lives. He reigns in our lives today. And He reigns in such a way as to not allow sin to reign. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 6. He says, therefore, meaning because Christ died and rose again for us, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. No, rather, we are to let Christ rule in our lives, and we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We've talked about this before too. We cannot do this perfectly on our own. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to help us to let Christ rule in our lives. So Jesus not only rules in our lives, but He rules over the church. In Ephesians 1:20-22, we read, God raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. There's that place of authority, right? Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. Christ rules in our lives. Christ rules over the church. And friends, there will come a day when Christ will come again and rule over all creation. And we see in Revelation 19:16, that when He comes on His robe and on His thigh, He has written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when Christ comes again. In Philippians 2, we read about that day. It says, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place. There's that place of authority again. And gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friends, Jesus is King. So what does this mean for all of us today? Isn't that really the question we want to answer, right? What are the implications for us as we live our lives? Well, as Christians, we begin to imitate Christ, right? Christ is our model, so we begin to imitate Christ, and we participate in these roles, albeit in a very subordinate way. We participate in these roles. We have a prophetic role. Now, I use the term prophetic somewhat broadly, but we have a prophetic role as we proclaim the gospel. Not with any new revelations, but as we echo the words of Jesus Christ, the final and ultimate prophet. We also have a priestly role. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are referred to, or in 1 Peter 2:9, we're referred to as a royal priesthood. And we offer sacrifices, and our sacrifices are in the form of worship. And our sacrifices are in the form of praise to God. Our good works are a sacrifice. And Paul has this perfectly in mind, this priestly role in mind, when he says in Romans 12 that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. As a reminder, we don't offer these sacrifices. We don't do these things to gain anything necessarily, right? Our salvation is in the work of Christ and Christ alone. All that we do is done out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. So we share in those two roles. We also share in the part of the kingly reign of Christ as well, since, as Ephesians 2:6 tells us, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in that place of authority in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We reign with Christ. So we participate in these roles, subordinate to Christ, but what that looks like for each one of us is going to be different. Obviously, it's not going to be the same for everyone. We each have very specific roles to fulfill within this greater mission. And Hope Church has a role in that greater mission as well. Pastor Barry shared our mission statement last week. It bears looking at once again. There it is, to honor God by loving our neighbors, sharing the gospel, and caring for each other. And we believe that this describes Christ's calling for His church here in Lowell, here at Hope Church. And we believe that it echoes Jesus' mission, and it echoes the roles that He fulfills for us, those roles that we participate in. We have roles to fulfill, and that applies to each of us as individuals, but it also applies to us as a body, as a church. As I shared earlier, I often consider all of the roles I've fulfilled in my life, and I acknowledge that some have been somewhat menial and others much more important, but all are roles that I have been called by God to fulfill. So here's my question for all of us today. What role is God calling you to fulfill? It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in or where your relationship with God is at. God is calling you to something more. Maybe you're here today and you're just not sure about this God thing. You're just kind of kicking the tires, just kind of checking it out. That's great. We are so glad you're here. But maybe God is calling you to the role of explorer. Maybe your role is to just keep coming back. He's compelling you to keep searching for answers. Friend, it is our prayer that you would continue to do that. We hope you do that here, but we hope that you continue to explore and seek those answers. Now, you could be here today and you've made a commitment to Christ as your Savior, as your priest, as your King. But something is stirring you in you about what your role is in that mission. And guess what? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you, moving you. Maybe it's something as simple as a role as a volunteer. We need volunteers here. We need all kinds of help with tech. worship team, children's ministries, building and grounds, etc., etc. Maybe it's just a role as a volunteer. I think back to a number of years ago when Nancy and I were involved in a church startup that met in a school gym, which required setup and tear down. And I thought, I can do that, right? I'm cheap labor. And that way I can stay like kind of behind the scenes, you know? And I wouldn't have to get up in front of people and like talk. See how roles change over the years? Yeah, kind of crazy. Maybe you just need to get involved. And maybe you are involved, and maybe you do volunteer. Is God calling you to a greater role in the mission? Is He calling you to the role of ministry partner? Is He calling you to the role of small group leader, or ministry partner, or Bible study leader? What is God moving you towards in His kingdom for His mission? Jesus has fulfilled amazing roles for each one of us. The role of final prophet, not only bringing the gospel, not only bringing the word, but being the embodiment of the word and the fulfillment of prophecy. He fulfills the role of our perfect priest, making the perfect sacrifice once and for all for our sins, and the role of King of Kings, reigning supreme in our lives, in the church, and in the coming age, to one day reign over all creation. And He did all of this because He loves us. And He's calling us, each and every one of us, to fulfill the roles for which we are created. What is that role? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You, Lord, and we thank You. We thank You so much for all that You've done. We thank You for Your role as the final prophet. We thank You, Father, for Your role as the perfect priest, making that perfect sacrifice once and for all for our sins. And Lord, we thank You for Your role as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that You would continue to work in our minds and our lives and our hearts. Talk to us, Lord, what our role is in Your mission. Hear our prayer, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.